My wife and I, for our wedding, the most common part, or the most common advice that we received just a month ago, is to pause and to take in the moment. People would tell us that our wedding day would go by fast, and half of the details that we had given so much time and attention to would not matter. All of the sacrifices, the time spent, the dedication, the triumphs would all boil down and come to one single day. And just like that, the day would be over. We laughed, we cried, and we danced. However, once the celebration had come to a close, there was one question left on the floor. What is the plan now? Today, we celebrate answered prayers. Parents and families and loved ones who have prayed just as hard as the graduates have worked. Graduates, celebrate your accomplishments. We honor your plans, but remember that without prayer, whether it was you who prayed or someone who prayed for you, your victories come and have came from God. Our scripture lesson today outlines that celebratory psalm. It is a celebratory psalm, a royal psalm, as some may call it. And just like that for our graduates, we also celebrate you. But it is not just a celebratory psalm, and not only is it something that we can rejoice in, but it is also a prayer of acknowledgement and celebration, a prayer of desire and direction, a prayer of what can be if you give it to God. Listen to verses 3-5 again. The scripture says, "May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God." And then it says, "May the Lord grant all your requests." The celebration at hand is marked by the presence of God, meaning that where God is, there is a cause for joy. Where God is, there will be victory. God's presence in this case was not on the battlefield where the victory would have been won, but instead where God's people meet, the sanctuary, the church. And David and the people of Yahweh knew that if God decided to dwell in the building where the people meet, then God would have favor on their endeavors. For those of you who do not know, this understanding of God's dwelling place and favor is traced back to Deuteronomy 14. After the Israelites wandered through the wilderness with the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ten Commandments that represented the presence of God and his will, they finally crossed over into the land that God had promised and later would build a temple under King Solomon. Graduates, remember that brief description, but I want you to interpret it this way. No matter how far out in the wilderness you go, whatever your wilderness may look like, remember to find a sanctuary where the presence of God is. Here is where you find that God is residing. Here is the one thing we fail to think about. God's presence doesn't just dwell anywhere. In fact, this sanctuary that is mentioned in verse 3 would be destroyed on multiple occasions, alluding to the fact, not alluding, but symbolizing the fact that God no longer condoned what was happening with the people that occupied that space. God does not just dwell anywhere. So if you're going off, find a sanctuary that worships, that prays, that puts God at the forefront of everything that they do. Where God's presence is, there is victory. And remember that each time you come back home, know that God's presence is here in this sanctuary. And the people in unison, they gather for this royal psalm as we go back to our text. In this royal occasion, it is an occasion of war. War was a time to show strength, to show power, to show resilience. War required the best fighters and strategies. War required food and horses. It required certain garments and colors. War required certain weapons and shields. But what we learn from this royal psalm is that war for the people of God required prayer. You see, war was not only a time to show the army's strength, but a time to show God's strength. Don't think about strength in the numbers of those killed, but strength in God's faithfulness to defeat the opposition, whatever the opposition may be. And these were God's chosen people, those who believed and belonged to God. Prayer. Prayer represented a dialogue between the king and his kingdom. Prayer was an acknowledgement that the people of God could do anything if his presence was with them. So they begin their celebration. And during their celebration, they started to pray through song. In verse 3, the psalmist sings to the people a verse about reassurance. And the first thing that he reassures them of in verse 3 is that the Lord remembers. Essentially, the psalmist says in verse 3, may God remember your sacrifices and your burnt offering. In other words, may God remember the times that you've come to his sanctuary and have praised him. The times that you have come with gifts that you could have taken somewhere else. The sacrifice of time. The sacrifice of talents. The sacrifice of treasures and tithes. The sacrifices was a form of rendering to God what belonged to him, but also a sign of humility and devotion. Coming to his church, to his sanctuary, is not just a sacrifice, but the devotion to God. Don't forget to devote yourselves to him. And may God remember your mission. Don't forget to devote yourselves to him. And remember, and God will remember your submission. That is the first reassurance, is that the Lord remembers. And then in verse 4, we find out that the psalmist encourages them and says, not only will God remember your sacrifices, not only will God remember the times that you have struggled, not only will God remember the times that you have laid down at night trying to figure out how you were going to balance school, how you were going to balance family, how you were going to balance work, how you were going to balance relationships, not only will God remember those times, but he says, the Lord will provide. In verse 4, the prayer continues, and he tells these people that are preparing for war and that are having a celebration that the Lord will provide. That is, that your plans will succeed, but there's a stipulation to your plans succeeding. He says your heart has to be right. But your heart must be right. Because from the heart, there your plans originate. Your heart has to have integrity. Let me give you an example. This past week, we begin our summer Bible study series. And the first Bible study that we did on Wednesday is hot topics that we're doing this summer. So each Wednesday, our students send in something that they would like to talk about. And the theme that they wanted to talk about this week was Hot Girl Summer. Now, Hot Girl Summer, if some of you don't know, is a song by Megan Thee Stallion. And before you go look it up, Deacon Street, just know that the words are graphic and they're not holy or sanctified in any stretch of the imagination. And the only reason why I tell you that is to tell you about our conversation moving forward. And basically what Megan Thee Stallion says in her song, how can I make this holy? She says that in order to have a hot girl summer, you can have a relationship, but you know, you can also have some stuff on the side, basically. So thank you, Ryan. I'm trying. And what she says is you may have a man at home, but you can go do your stuff in the street and don't worry about it. She gives very descriptive, Don't go look up the words unless you really want to know. And also, parents, make sure that you are monitoring what your kids are listening to. Because two of them, I'm not going to say any names because one of them are here in the sanctuary, two of them said that they knew all the words to the song. But anyway, so I looked up the video and I was going to play it, you know, the clean version of it for the Bible study, as clean as you can get it. And it didn't pop up, so I had to start saying the words. And after which, after I read all the graphic words to them, trying to exclude the words, the bad words, I asked them whether they agreed with the principle of Hot Girl Summer. And one of our students said, well, yes. And I kind of was a little bit shocked, but not much because I know them. And so I asked her to explain, and her explanation was, well, if you look at it the way that Megan Thee Stallion says it, then yes, it's bad. You shouldn't do that. It's wrong, whatever. But if you take the principle of Hot Girl Summer, which is women's independence, then sure, you know, you don't have to depend upon a man. You know, you can go do your own thing, have fun. And basically what she was saying, that if your heart was right, if your heart is in the right place, then it doesn't matter what the outcome is, or more so, it determines what the outcome is. That is the same message about these plans in the writer David, who is talking in this altar. He says, listen, I declare that your plans will be great, and that God will bestow upon you all the desires of your heart in verse 4. But he kind of alludes to this fact that even though your plans may be set in your heart, make sure first that your heart is in the right place. And so our prayer for you graduates is that God provides to you the plans and dreams to make success happen. But the church cannot pray for success over you, and yet your heart not match the morals and principles of God. The Lord remembers, and the Lord will provide. And the last thing he says in verse 5, the Lord is not done. The Lord is not done. The prayer starts off in the past tense. Verse 3 says, may the Lord remember. The prayer then switches at verse 4 to future tense by saying, may the Lord give you the desire of your heart and make all your what? Your plans succeed. Plans with the S, whatever they may be. And then the writer sets the recipient up for greater victory. So let me say that again. It starts off this prayer celebrating the past, but the prayer then moves to the present tense and then to future tense. And he says, may God allow all of your plans with an S to succeed. You thought today, graduates, was about your prior accomplishments. You thought today was about the sacrifices that you had last year and the year before that and the year before that. You thought. And yes, the prayer started off in past tense, but when you pray, it's not just for the past. Yes, we thank God and we celebrate the sacrifices, but the prayer hasn't concluded yet. In other words, the ending of the prayer is asking that God will answer all these requests. Did you get that? At the end of verse 5, the psalmist says, may the Lord grant you all the requests. But I thought the Lord already granted all my requests. That's why we're celebrating, isn't it? That means that the requests you have asked God for, let me say that again, the requests that you have asked God for, let me say it one more time, the requests that you have asked God for has not even begun to happen. You ought to rejoice at that thought, because you thought today was about graduating with your master's. Brejean, you thought today was about graduating from high school. You thought today was about the request that you asked God, and yet he allowed you to see your graduation and walk and all that type of stuff. But the prayer request that you have submitted to God have not been answered at all. I don't know what you have prayed for, but I prayed for wisdom, and I know that God has not already granted me the wisdom that I prayed for. I prayed for good credit, and I know that the Lord is still working on my credit. I got good credit, but better credit is coming. I pray that God blesses you, Brejean, as you go on to get your CDL. I pray God blesses you, Royal, as you go to Prayer View A&M. I pray God blesses you, Jenna, as you try to strive and get your counseling position in practice. I pray for you, Carrick, as you open your own business. But the prayers that we've prayed have not already been answered. So before you go to bed tonight, pray for more victories. The Lord is not done in your life. Yes, celebration goes by so quickly, but that's because you need a refresher. You need to be reminded of your hard work, but you also need to know that God is still a prayer-answering God. You need to know that at your lowest moments, the Lord is still listening to you. All those times you felt like giving up, you felt like throwing in the towel, you were on the ropes taking hit after hit. Family drama, relationship issues, teachers who didn't care, friends who walked away. No callbacks, no interviews. The job fell through at the last moment. The school that you wanted didn't accept you. The team that you wanted to get on to, they didn't have money for you. You kept taking hit after hit after hit, and we celebrate your sacrifices. But now we're praying for God to give you the desire of your heart. We pray for God to make all your plans succeed. We shout over unseen victories. We pray that you lift your banner in celebration. Wave your hands, post your accomplishments, wear the cap and gown, but know that the Lord is not done. May God grant all your requests. You want a good salary? Lord, grant it. You want a fulfilling job? Lord, grant it. You want a happy marriage? Lord, grant it. You want to make the dean's list? Lord, grant it. You want to help people? Lord, grant it. You want a thriving business? Lord, grant it. And make the Lord grant all your requests. May we shout for a job well done. May we shout for joy over your victories. We shout in advance. We shout in advance. We shout in advance. We shout over the haters and the naysayers. We shout over the wannabes and the Sadducees. We shout over the losses and the victories. We shout knowing that if God never does anything else, He's already done enough. This is our prayer for you, that God would answer all of your requests, that He would grant you victory. But just know the storms won't stop here. The sacrifices won't end here. There is a celebration of not just what is, but what will be. Let me tell you, this is not just a day of celebration for our graduates, but for our church as well. And over these past few weeks, we've seen a lot of death, a lot of sickness, a lot of hospitalizations. There have been a lot of prayer requests that have come through the Ebenezer prayer line. And time again, Ebenezer, the Lord has answered our prayers. I'm not trying to call any names, but there have been some leaders in our congregation that didn't know if their loved ones were going to make it out of surgery, but the Lord answered your prayer. We celebrate over that victory. We celebrate over the victory for restoring health to some of our deacons who've gone through surgery, who've gone through heartache after heartache and loss after loss. We celebrate those victories. And this morning, I was trying to find another demonstration of celebration of a victory. And I was wondering what the Lord was going to give me. I've been thinking about it all throughout the week. I didn't have anything on my paper. But today I remembered and I recalled on my drive in how I felt when I first got to Ebenezer. I was discouraged because a lot of people in the community, whenever I was going around meeting different people, would say that Ebenezer is this uppity church. The people don't know how to praise God. They don't like music in the background of their sermons. And people are not going to say amen when you preach. You're going to have a hard time there, brother. They said, whenever you get there, you're not going to last long. I was discouraged. And for a while, it felt as if I was losing this sense of praise and worship. Because you know how Ebenezer is. We like to sit and reflect, not always vocalize our concerns and our thanksgiving. But this morning, in your house, wherever you are on your job, Ebenezer, I believe that God has a victory that we have not yet seen. And I believe that no matter what the community says, no matter what the stipulation on our church may have been, our graduates are going to come back. Our young families are going to come back. Our worship is going to be 10 times stronger because we know that God has answered our prayers. We know that God has been faithful to us. God has continued to do more and more abundantly. So this morning we speak victory. We pray victory over Ebenezer. We pray that God would continue to bless you, that may God continue to hold His countenance upon you when the night seems long. But just remember, with victory comes sacrifice. With victory comes a submitted heart. Lord, we thank you. We celebrate the sacrifices. We honor the plans. And we praise you for a job well done. Go on, graduates, from here. Lift high your banners and continue to pray for victory. May God bless you and keep you.
Ebenezer members and online, the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.